Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. Good afternoon and welcome to a special edition of the Noon Report. It's our 2019 Year in Review. I'm Bob Price, and we've dedicated the next half hour to the issues and events that made headlines this year. Let's take a listen.
Senate will be in order.
Will you all please raise your right hand?
As we begin this new Congress, the American people need Democrats and Republicans to work together.
We really cannot resolve this until we open up government.
I am very proud to announce today that we have reached a deal to end the shutdown.
The calls for Governor Ralph Northam to resign are growing.
I am not either of the people in that photo.
And there it is. The dynasty continues.
The Patriots are Super Bowl champs once again.
The state of our union is strong.
You have to watch the entire video of what happened with these kids from Covington.
An encounter between Kentucky high school students and a Native American elder triggered nationwide outrage.
It is the coldest it has been in decades.
It's called a polar vortex.
The polar vortex.
The polar vortex.
The polar vortex.
This is the fight of our lives.
Bernie Sanders announcing that he's running for president again.
We want to take you now to Newark, New Jersey.
I'm Cory Booker, and I'm running for president.
They call me Mayor Pete. I am running for president of the United States.
Now to what could be a major development in the Jussie Smollett case.
I think this city is still owed an apology.
President Trump arriving in Vietnam.
The president's longtime fixer and personal attorney.
I know what Mr. Trump is.
Michael Cohen.
The Philly sign, Bryce Harper.
The alleged ringleader of a massive college admission scam.
The operation dubbed Varsity Blues.
Brand new 737 Maxes have been grounded.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the attacks in Christchurch, New Zealand.
Notre Dame Cathedral is on fire.
I've got stage 4 cancer, not stage 1 for sissies.
Why are you making me laugh about
it? Well, what else are we going to do?
Virginia with the all-time turnaround title.
Many doubted we'd ever see it. Here it is.
The return to glory.
Congratulations, Tiger. Unbelievable.
It was just announced. There was no collusion with Russia. This was an illegal takedown.
This goes to the heart of everything we've been talking about, the collusion and cover-up.
There's a very strong argument to be made that this is a high crime or misdemeanor for which impeachment may be a possibility.
The Republican Party has surrendered to Russia.
Robert Mueller will appear today. He's going to take questions for the first time.
After nearly 2 years of investigation, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign colluded.
There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions.
For the first time in their history, the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions.
Roosevelt might have won the World Cup for the United States.
Stepping across that line was a great honor.
President Trump became the first American president to set foot in North Korea.
Thousands and thousands of people chanting Free Hong Kong.
Multi-millionaire and politically connected money manager Jeffrey Epstein.
I wanted to talk about the death of Mr. Epstein.
He's a guy that there are probably 50 very important people that have a motive to kill him.
Baseball legend Frank Robinson has died.
Bill Buckner died today.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner.
British actor Albert Finney has died.
I love you, Daddy Warbucks.
All I can do is just low and go,
Norton.
It was nearly impossible not to laugh at Tim Conway.
There she goes.
What a funny comedian.
Doris Day, one of Hollywood's most beloved stars, passing away.
Whatever will be, will be.
She could do it all.
Fans, loved ones, and former colleagues are mourning the loss of veteran actor Rip Torn.
Sad news this morning.
Take me home tonight.
Eddie Money has passed.
Author and Nobel laureate Toni Morrison died last night.
The shots are going do, 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 do.
This is an NBC News special report.
We're coming on the air this morning with breaking news from Dayton, Ohio.
Breaking news.
The Patriots just released Antonio Brown.
Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz is recovering this morning.
This is why presidential debates are becoming unwatchable.
Yeah. Hey, guys, you know what? America does not want to witness a food fight.
Yeah, this reminds everybody of what they cannot stand about Washington.
Look, my son did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
If a Republican ever did what Joe Biden did, they'd be getting the electric chair.
Why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader? You should be looking at Trump.
It's better to be on TV than by phone.
That is grounds for impeachment.
We can't talk about impeachment. When can we talk about impeachment?
This impeachment talk has accelerated.
It's a joke. Impeachment for that?
Take a look at that call. It was perfect.
Mr. Kanye West.
And I've given my life to Jesus Christ and I work for God.
Dorian, one of the strongest storms ever formed in the Atlantic.
The Bahamas are dealing with an unprecedented crisis.
You don't get hurricanes like that often.
Absolute devastation.
3-2. Here it is! The Washington Nationals are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
The House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. No one is above the law.
Speaker Pelosi happens to be the Speaker of this House, but she does not speak for America when it comes to this issue.
American troops are pulling back to make way for Turkey's planned invasion of northern Syria.
Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is dead.
This is a great day for America. This is a great day for the world.
Baghdadi hiding in a tunnel, a dog chasing him.
Several Americans, mothers and their children, ambushed and killed in Mexico.
Codename Crossfire Hurricane.
The conservative narrative of a deep state out to get Donald Trump.
And imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if they can do this to the candidate for the president of the United States, what could they do to you?
The evidence of the president's misconduct is overwhelming and uncontested.
Charging Donald J. Trump with committing high crimes and misdemeanors.
You don't need Sherlock Holmes to figure this one out. We have the evidence.
They're going to impeach, not because they have the evidence, but because they hate the president.
Mr. Chairman, there are 23 ayes and 17 noes.
The article is agreed to.
This will be the first impeachment we've ever seen that is completely political.
This is the day the nation is weaker.
They don't like the 63 million people who voted for this president. And they dislike us so much they're willing to weaponize the government.
We all know how it's going to end. There's no chance the president's going to be removed from office.
Times 2019 Person of the Year.
We are in the beginning of a mass extinction.
It's Greta Thunberg.
We will get Brexit done.
The man once dismissed as a grandstanding clown vindicated.
We did it. We pulled it off, didn't we? We broke the deadlock. We ended the gridlock. We smashed the roadblock.
President Trump and China look to be making a deal.
The President of the United States has secured a deal with China.
God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Our 2019 Year in Review special report. This is Bob Price, part of the Family Life News Team, and recently the entire Family Life News Team assembled to discuss what we thought were the biggest stories of 2019. Thanks for being here, guys. What a year it's been. First of all, hope you all had a Merry Christmas, and let's dig right in. We're talking the top five stories of 2019. Did anyone not have impeachment as their top story? Okay, I don't see any hands.
All hands down.
We'll get to that in a second. Well, let's just go around the room then, and we'll begin. Bill, what was your fifth biggest story of the year and why?
Wildfires and hurricanes made number five for me this past year. California on fire again, one of the most active years for wildfires in the Golden State. Who can forget those rolling power outages? Who also can forget Hurricane Dorian, Category 5 storm wiping out the Bahamas at the end of August? Coupled those together, my fifth biggest story for 2019.
How about you, Tracy? What was yours?
Yeah, the same. You know, the Kincade Fire burned over 77,000 acres in Northern California. Mm. So same for me, the natural disasters.
Yeah, that was a huge story this year. Brandon, did that make your list? What was your fifth biggest story?
It made my list. It was actually a little bit higher. This was a tough one for number five, but I happened to go with abortion because we saw several states, I believe about nine in total, Alabama, Louisiana, especially especially down in the southeast, that have basically created a challenge of Roe v. Wade. And so this is something that could be historic. You'll definitely see an interest taken up by the Supreme Court, and I think something that could have long-term ramifications on our country as a whole.
My fifth biggest story was a name we all had to practice before we said it, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the world's most wanted man, killed just days after that controversial troop withdrawal from Syria. How does this upset the ISIS apple cart in 2020? Baghdadi, of course, the biggest kill in the war on terror since Osama bin Laden, and to me, that was the fifth biggest story of 2019, the death of Baghdadi. All right, counting down the five biggest stories of the year from the Family Life News team. Number four on the list, Tracy, what did you have for 2019?
My number four is probably going to be different than other people's, but mine was the houses of worship being attacked with frequency around the world. Some of them, just to highlight, New Zealand, Sri Lanka, yeah. Also in California. I mean, there were dozens of people killed around the world in different houses of worship, not just Christian, but also Jewish. There were Islamic places of worship, and even a Buddhist temple.
Yeah. Religious persecution, huge. It includes all faiths. Thank you, Tracy. Your fourth biggest story of the year, Brandon?
You know, I had to go with, not to copy Bill, I went up a little bit further, but natural disasters. You know, it seems like every year we have some big ones, but it seems like every year we also talk about an even bigger storm. You think about Hurricane Dorian and the devastation, the destruction there. Think about the California wildfires. We thought 2018 was bad. 2019 turning out to be even worse with the campfire, the Woolsey fire. I mean, just seemed like that was the constant threat, and not just for a few weeks or a few months, really throughout the course of the whole year.
Well, guys, I had Operation Varsity Blues, not a movie, a riveting story that went all summer long, how the privileged few cheated the system to get their kids into prestigious schools. Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, but there were others accused of paying off proctors, fudging test scores. This dealt a huge black eye to our institutions of higher learning. We may never fully realize how big it was. Operation Varsity Blues, the fourth biggest story of the year. Bill, what was yours?
Well, I may have made a mistake, but I'm going to say it anyway. Based on the images of that day, they were so surreal. The fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral, those images of that world-famous cathedral on fire back in April, we'll never forget that. When the dust had settled, it wasn't as bad as what we had predicted, so that was good. But wow, what a scare, what a scene, the fire at Notre Dame, my fourth biggest story for 2019.
Hard to believe, yeah. Countdown top five stories of the year. We've got two down, three to go. The third biggest story of the year. Guys, I had the FBI's secret surveillance of the Trump campaign. Crossfire hurricane. You got the deep state, FISA warrants, Steele dossier, James Comey. Were dirty deeds done to try and undermine the president? If the feds could do this to a candidate for president, what could they do to you? Senator Lindsey Graham asked that question. By far, I thought, the most underreported story of the year. Without this story, though, you don't have Mueller report, and you don't have the impeachment of a president. So the secret surveillance of the FBI, I thought, was the third biggest story of 2019. Brandon, what did you have?
You know, we get so desensitized to it, it seems like, because it happens so often. But how about more mass shootings? You talk about just in terms of the quantity, but then also of the death and destruction that it's left behind. El Paso, multiple shootings in California, and really taking a look at the map of just the mass shootings across the U.S., it doesn't discriminate. Unfortunately, we've had them all over, and just another year that we have to see this, but I think we can't lose that sensitivity to it of when there's so much death and loss like in a tragedy like a mass shooting.
Yeah. Hopefully we never lose that sensitivity. Tracy, what was your third biggest story?
My third top story was the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And, you know, he was in charge since the death of Osama bin Laden in 2011. I don't think many news outlets covered it for very long. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of emphasis there, but a big important.
Huge event in our country's history and the world's history. Bill, what was your third biggest story of the year?
Well, I was copying off Brandon here. I had mass shootings as my third biggest story, too. A Walmart in El Paso in early August, 22 people dead, a deadliest mass shooting of the year. Sadly, not the only one, though. A few days later, Dayton, Ohio became etched on that notorious list. Odessa, Texas, 8 people dead. Then in late May, 12 people shot and killed in Virginia Beach, Virginia. The list goes on and on and on and on. Mass shootings, my third biggest story of the year.
All right, top five stories of 2019. What a year it has been, guys. Hard to believe we're at the end. Tracy, your second biggest story the past 12 months.
Well, I lumped these two together, the Mueller report, because we continued to hear, you know, for another half a year about it, and also the Pfizer report about the Mueller probe and the investigation. So, again, we heard a lot about it, and those were my top two.
Yeah, and I had the Mueller report. I separated the two. I thought they were uniquely different, but you could clump those together. Mueller report, how many times did we hear Russia collusion this year, guys? Next to impeachment, I think it was tops, the biggest buzzword of the year. Democrats hoping for those bloody footsteps leading to the front door of a crime scene that is the Kremlin. That didn't happen. Republicans called the report vindication. That didn't happen. So the jury's still out. The Mueller report, definitely worthy of that two spot on the countdown. Bill, what was your second biggest story of the year?
Trump walks into North Korea, 3:45 p.m. local time. President Trump literally walked into history, becoming the first sitting U.S. president to ever set foot in North Korea. The moment sent shockwaves across the world. What will it mean for the denuclearization of North Korea? Time will tell. But that historic moment, my number two story of the year.
Yeah, that was a photograph for the ages, wasn't it? Brandon, we're almost done. Number two on your list, please.
And that is the trade tariff tit for tat with China. You think this has been going on all year long, and it's going to continue to go on. There might be some resolution as we're wrapping up 2019, but this has impacted farmers, which is obviously very big to our listening audience, but then it's also impacted oil prices and the global economy as a whole. There's major ramifications here, and for once, the U.S. seems to really be standing up to China. Trump's taken a really hard stance that's not popular right now, but could pay off in the long run.
All right, and I asked you guys at the start of this, how many didn't have impeachment at the top of the list? I didn't see a single hand, so let's go around the room and talk about why. The impeachment of Donald J. Trump, only the third in history, the first purely partisan impeachment. Millions of Americans did Google searches this year trying to find this obscure country, Ukraine, on the map. Up until this year, nobody cared about Ukraine. Now we do. We know how this movie ends, though, in the Senate. What will it mean for the balance of power in the Congress? And more importantly, what will it mean for the future president of this country? The impeachment of a president, by far the top story of 2019. Tracy?
Well, I would just add the focus of the abuse of power. Because of that phone call in July, the abuse of power, the sticky wicket there, because that one is kind of more vague than a specific crime. Yeah. So I think that that is why, along party lines, the Democrats voted that way.
All right. And Bill, give us the why.
Well, last year at this time, we were wondering if Congress would investigate or legislate. And we got a clear answer. And the thing with this story is it may snowball into the top story for 2020.
All right, Brandon Dixon, our fearless leader, you will have the last word as to why you thought this was the biggest story of 2019.
Well, you know, you talk about impeachment, and I think it's the history and the precedent that it's going to set. This is only the third president, as you had mentioned here, that's going to be impeached. But I think we can lose track of that. We've talked so much about impeachment that we've almost been desensitized to how big of a deal this is. This does not happen very often, nor should it. And then the precedent that it's going to set going forward. We're in a very divided political climate right now. And where does it kind of end? Because it seems like with the Mueller probe, there was almost a foregone conclusion that impeachment was bound to happen. And then, as Bill mentioned, that's going to be a major player, depending on how everything shakes out and how voters view that in the 2020 election, which then will shape this country and the world, for that matter, for the next 4 years going forward.
All right, guys, thank you very much. This is our special year-in-review report, the biggest stories of 2019. I'm your host, Bob Price. So what were the issues that mattered the most in New York and Pennsylvania, Harrisburg and Albany? That part of the story coming up with the Capital Connection crew, Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms, and Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Gentlemen, it is hard to believe the end is here. 2019 almost over, and this is our year in review special report, the top five stories from New York and Pennsylvania. What I did, guys, was I just went through our scripts from the last year and wrote down what I thought were the top five news events, but we want to hear what you have to say. Michael, let's begin with you in Harrisburg. What a year it was. Boyertown 6, you had opioids, you had the Fetterman marijuana listening tour, presidential politics, pro-life Pennsylvania, so much to choose from. What was your fifth biggest story of the year?
Well, it's an ongoing story, and that's the transgender issue that is impacting personal privacy and female sports in high schools and colleges and things, and specifically the Boyertown 6. Those are students at the Boyertown area high school in the Reading area of Pennsylvania, down the southeast corner quadrant of the state, where, you know, students in a locker room were confronted and faced seeing someone of the opposite sex in a state of undress. And we took that case to court, went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, which unfortunately decided not to hear that case.
Yeah.
But we are pressing ahead. There are additional cases in the docket, one coming out of Honesdale, Pennsylvania, trying to protect student privacy and religious liberty as well in these cases.
Yeah, the Boyertown 6. Boy, that was a huge story this year. Let's head to Albany and what impacted not just the state capitol, but the entire state of New York. Jason, what a list this year. I had the green light law, the Bishop of Buffalo's resignation, early voting for the first time ever. Of course, you had that vaccine controversy this year. And of course, back in almost a year ago now, the Reproductive Health Act. But those were my five. What was your fifth biggest story of the year?
Yeah, most of those I'll come back to in my higher numbers. But, you know, the one that was not on your list that I'll mention was the near miss of marijuana here in New York. Essentially, we were told this was going to happen. There was no way to stop it. It was inevitable. And then we saw that the issue was put off to the table at the end of the legislative session in June. The vaping crisis that then came as a result of that is being closely tied to big pot and marijuana. That issue will certainly rise in 2020, but I think that was also a story of 2019.
Counting down the top five news stories of 2019 with the Capital Connection crew, Jason McGuire and Michael Gear. What was the fourth biggest story in Pennsylvania this year, Michael?
Well, I'm going to combine a couple of them here. One tailing off of what Jason just said, which is the pushing of recreational marijuana here in Pennsylvania. As people may remember throughout this year, the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, John Fetterman, went on what he called a marijuana listening tour. He'd already had his mind clearly made up. He had said that he wants Pennsylvania to go full on Colorado. And we don't want to see that happen. And that's going to be a fight in 2020 here in our state. And then the opioid epidemic. Last year, nearly 5,000 Pennsylvanians lost their life to drug overdoses, and that continues to be a problem. The governor continuing these emergency declarations to try to fight this epidemic in our state.
Yeah, he declared six or seven of them in 2019. Definitely a huge story. I had the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone's resignation, as fourth on my list in New York. Jason, what did you have as the fourth biggest story of 2019?
Yeah, the passage of the Child Victims Act was a big issue here in New York, and we began to see that rolled out in 2019, as that is impacting, you know, the Roman Catholic Diocese all across the state of New York. We see that. And also a few evangelical churches as well are impacted by the removal of that statute of limitations on those sexual molestation cases. And there are certain cases where certainly the sin of those folks is catching up with them, and others where, frankly, it's going to be hard to ascertain what is the truth in those situations. Yeah. That will have an impact in many churches here in New York for years to come.
All right, we've got two down, three to go. Talking the top five news stories, news issues, news events of 2019 with the Capital Connection crew. Let's stay in Albany for this one. Jason, what did you have as number three on your list?
I've got the green light law, the notion that essentially we will be issuing driver's licenses to undocumented or illegal aliens is the big story. Now, in many places in upstate New York, you did not see much turnout for that. But we are seeing in places like Long Island and places in the city, there are lines out the door for people who are here illegally that are now getting legal New York State driver's licenses. And that may become an issue in even elections down the road.
Definitely one of the top five, I think, on everyone's list, Jason, that green light law. Number three in Pennsylvania, Michael, what did you have?
Well, I think I would list the Governor Wolf's hostility towards parental choice in education. He has gone after charter schools with a vengeance, trying to impose regulations on charter schools and make it harder for parents to choose that option. He's just shown this hostility, and now he's opposing a bill that would provide school choice option for students in the failing school district of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, something desperately needed, yet Governor Wolf stands in the way.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to our Year in Review special report with the Capital Connection crew, talking down the top five news stories of 2019 in New York and Pennsylvania. We are near the end, Michael, in Harrisburg. We are down to the final two. What was your second biggest news event of the year?
Well, Pennsylvania, this time around, going into 2020, is right in the spotlight for presidential politics. And that also then goes down into the congressional races as well, with some contested races. With the impeachment just happening, we have some Democrat candidates who serve in districts that were won by President Trump. And they're now sort of on the dime in terms of whether they can hold on to their seats, most notably Connor Lamb in the Pittsburgh area. But President Trump has made Pennsylvania a significant focus with rallies in Hershey and the Pittsburgh area, and we know we're going to be seeing a lot more of President Trump and Mike Pence in the coming year.
Yeah, you got that right. He made at least four trips in 2019. That was my second biggest story as well, Michael. Jason, I had the vaccine law in New York is my second biggest story, that public health versus personal liberty debate. What did you have on your list and why?
Yeah, that's my issue as well, as I see the repeal of the religious exemptions from otherwise mandatory vaccinations as a huge story for this year because of the parental rights angle. Not just is this an issue of vaccinations, Christians disagree on that view, but we see this as a parental rights issue and a religious liberty issue. And now with the expansion coming in 2020 to looking to mandate a vaccine against human papillomavirus, we can just see once again that this is a story that is not going away.
Man, what a story it was this year. And we are finally down to the last one, the biggest story of the year. If I had a drum, I would let it roll. In Pennsylvania, Michael, what did you have on your list, sir?
Well, I would say the pro-life issue for us in Pennsylvania is one of significance, especially when we look at what happened in New York. And I think we're going to be hearing from Jason about that likely in just a moment, which is, will Pennsylvania go the same direction as New York? Now, in the 2019 legislative session, we passed the Down Syndrome Protection Act, which Governor Wolf vetoed. He opposes the fetal heartbeat legislation that was introduced. We have a governor who is very much as pro-abortion as the governor of New York, and 2020 sort of holds the cards whether or not this legislature will stay in office. The folks that are pro-life in our legislature can hold on to their seats and keep Pennsylvania in a pro-life direction.
Well, I tell you, I think there were nine states this year that passed some form of fetal heartbeat legislation in the South, and it was a huge national story as well. That brings us to the final one, the biggest story in New York State in 2019. Jason?
And that is Governor Cuomo's Abortion Expansion Act is the biggest story of 2019. While much of the nation was moving in a pro-life direction, we saw our state and our governor lead us towards full-blown late-term abortion. That is the biggest story here. And so while we are looking at moving towards a pro-life New York, ultimately one day, and a pro-life nation, for right now, we've got a fight ahead of us for life.
Jason McGuire and Michael Gear, the Capital Connection crew. By the way, you can hear them Fridays during the Noon Report for Capital Connection, airing on Family Life. And that brings us to the conclusion of our special Year in Review Noon Report. Hope you enjoyed it. For the entire Family Life News team, I'm Bob Price, and Happy New Year, everyone.